his 2019 signing class. And it's going to be a group that includes 26 right now. The way that they're doing it, pretty incredible. And Billy would be the first to tell you, we're doing some innovative things. We kind of know where we stand, where we want to get. And they got more kids today than many people thought was possible. They went back up to West Monroe High School, to Neville High School, twice to the JUCO ranks, and then once to the state of Texas for a kicker. We're going to let Billy tell you all about his signing class. Cajun fans, just area football fans, this is a sharp man. They're doing some pretty special things at this level with recruiting. You don't want to miss that interview at 5:30. And then cross your fingers. If all works out well, we're going to be bringing on Sony Finua, LSU defensive end signee, originally from Salt Lake City. He's finishing up his junior college career at Mesa Community College, and a big-time commitment that the Tigers got over the weekend after his official visit that turned in to a national letter of intent signed early this morning. Sony Finua has told us he'll be with us today at 5:50 on our way out of the program. As I told you, we're awfully busy. Brian Snow, 4:30. Glenn Gilbo, Billy Napier, Sony Finua, all lined up for the 5 o'clock hour. You want to get a word in right now? I recommend you hurry. 706-0111. When it comes to LSU football, and I will lead there, this was a very good day. I'm going to tell you this is a better day than many of you are probably thinking right now. I've covered LSU football for far too long. I know that there's going to be hangdog, and that for many, that hangdog mentality is going to take over. Didn't get Ishmael Sopcich. Class isn't worth it, or at least the day wasn't what you wanted. Didn't go the way you wanted, and you're going to leave with negative thoughts. In a minute, I'm going to tell you why I personally think you're wrong about that. But here is what did happen today. Sony Finua, outside linebacker, strong side defensive end. We'll ask him exactly where he thinks he'll play. From Salt Lake City, he inked first. Then Mo Hampton, who will definitely play for Palmieri's baseball team if he makes it to campus, and you would think he's got a heck of a future as well, playing for LSU in the secondary on the football side of things. After that, Ray Parker, and we'll get to that topic with a little more depth as well, but some of the academic eligibility concerns I'm seeing right now on Twitter, where Coach O is saying they gave him some benchmarks to hit if they were going to take his signature. Coach O says that he has hit them, so very interesting. Thought to be an academic concern, was going to go the JUCO route. Ray Parker was given the thumbs up by LSU's compliance department earlier today, and the Ruston native became the third signee with six spots left today. The fourth came from Mabine High School, Devontae Lee, wide receiver, and that is a really, really big deal. LSU landing a couple of absolute studs when it comes to Trey Palmer out of Kentwood and then Devontae Lee out of A-Meet. Tangipahoa Parish is a battleground, clearly, right now for LSU and Bama, but those are some big-time wide receivers that are going to Baton Rouge. The fifth signee earlier today, Jay Ward, a cornerback out of Moultrie, Georgia, took LSU over the Kentucky Wildcats and announced within the last hour, Desmond Little, a three-star back seven player. Why don't we put it that way? I think there's some thoughts that he's probably going to play outside linebacker, maybe even has an opportunity to sneak in to the secondary. We'll see. He's from Pritchard, Alabama, and according to a number of people at 247 Sports, including John Garcia Jr., who covers the Yellowhammer State, there's a chance for Little to maybe be one of those late bloomers that a lot of people were sleeping on. And according to Coach O in his press conference going on right now, Little was a silent commit for a long time. The fact that his signing was announced so late in today leads me to believe that even though he was a silent, LSU needed to know that they had a spot left. And so how about that? From a total number standpoint, Shea Dixon told us yesterday he thought LSU would get the 23, maybe 24, and that Ishmael Sopcich would be the maybe 24 part. Tigers did get to 25 today. But let's address the elephant in the room, shall we? Let's get to the biggest player, quite literally, that LSU was trying to track down, Ishmael Sopcich. Here is my read on the situation, and I reserve the right to be wrong. It's happened before. It'll happen again. A number of conversations I've had in the last week And full disclosure, none of them have been with people on the LSU staff. I want you to know that off top. But a number of people that are more connected than me, and I mean in the college football world, not reporting on it, have been surprised that Alabama really wanted Ishmael Sopcich that badly. And this isn't me crying over spilled milk. This isn't any of that, because I don't have any horse in this race, right? I don't. And I also wish the kid nothing but the best. But the impression I've gotten from those that know more than me is that Ishmael Sopcich, with the way he maybe has been trending since he was the number two defensive tackle in the country earlier in his high school career, there's been some surprise from what I've heard that he was an Alabama-level kid. And so here is what I'm going to surmise today. That Alabama wanted Ishmael Sopcich more to keep him away from LSU, and maybe more importantly, most importantly, to try and gain another foothold at Amite High in Tangipahoa Parish and, frankly, in nearby Livingston Parish, where very, very soon Saban will continue calling on Jalen Cook, Brian Thomas, and some very talented Walker High underclassmen. That's my read on today's situation. And so for those that are going to cry tears in their beer, LSU didn't get Ishmael Sopcich, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, I call malarkey. And while I think he has a chance to be a very good player, and LSU certainly wanted him, and they should, something tells me this might not be a kid that goes to Alabama and is one of your three and dones. And I'll leave it at that, because this isn't about denigrating the kid. It's not how I get down. But I don't think that this was an Alabama five-star, got to have him because we need him to play right away. We're going to plug and play with Ishmael Sopcich. I don't think so. There's been some surprise with people I've talked to in the last week that Alabama really was that hot and heavy after him. And so that leads me to believe today, when a fairly predictable result happened, that Alabama wanted to play some keep away from LSU and wanted to try and maybe scratch one across in the win column in this new border area, Tangipahoa going into Livingston Parish, the new Monroe. That's my read on what happened today. Now I've shared it with you. On the other side of this break, I'll let you respond. I'll let you evaluate LSU and UL's 2019 class. We need you to get active. Let's stir it up a little when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, set to continue with a National Signing Day edition of the program on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Always a fun day. National Signing Day. Heck, even if there are two periods now, this is really the one it all comes down to. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. He is ready, willing, and able to take your phone calls. But do it now before our interview with Brian Snow in about 12 or 13 minutes. The number to play along, 706-0111. CD, let's get to this one quickly. We got a two-parter today. I'll ask both questions right after the music.
Exciting and new.
Familiar formula here. Sink or swim part one. Are you satisfied with LSU's 2019 recruiting class? Simple answer. You can give your reason. Part two. You probably know where I'm heading here. Are you satisfied with UL's 2019 recruiting class? Call in on one or both whenever you're ready. 706-0111. I'll lead off with LSU. And for me, this is a swim. I understand. Not everybody that the Tigers wanted is coming to Baton Rouge. That's kind of how the recruiting game works. But whereas it looked like the Tigers for a while would be lost in the weeds a little bit at running back outside of Ty Davis from Southern Lab, that they might try to pluck one or maybe two kids away from IMG Academy, that they might have to go on a bit of an expedition across the country, they got John Emery Jr., who in many circles is now the number one running back in the country. They have the number one cornerback in the country in Derek Stingley Jr. They've gotten the kids that I mentioned from Tangipahoa Parish at receiver that really stand a chance to make this offense under Steve Ensminger and now Joe Brady stand out for years to come. And I want you to think about this. When you could stack up consecutive years, like LSU has inside the state of Louisiana receiver, they're going to be in good hands, pun intended, for quite some time. Last year, we know, it was Terrace Marshall, and then it was the kid out of Rummel. Of course, his name is escaping me because I'm getting older at this point, but number one for LSU. When you get Jamar Chase, when you can go back-to-back with Marshall and Chase, and now you chase that, with Trey Palmer, Devontae Lee, a couple of kids that won state championships this year and were incredibly impressive doing so, that's a really big deal. And then a lot of other needs met at positions in and out of the state of Louisiana. I understand that the big domino that didn't fall is Ismael Sopcich. But as I told you in the opening segment, I'm not losing a lot of sleep over that. If he becomes a stud at Alabama, I'm not going to tell you I'll be surprised, but some of the people I've talked to in the last week will be. Why don't I leave it there? And so I think LSU, from a perception standpoint, yeah, today didn't feel great, losing the big one. But they added six total. There was concern that the Tigers may be trying to dumpster dive a little bit. Not that you can't find great talent at the JUCO level, the grad transfer market, but they'd be starting from scratch and in a spot of relative desperation to fill an extra spot or two. I think LSU, with one of the top five classes in the country, absolutely put together a landmark class for Ed Orgeron. Is it 2001? Is it 2011? Is it the fam? Is it even 14? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's probably not as good as some of those. Might end up being just as good as others. But it absolutely, for me, fit the bill. Part two, the Cajuns. This one is an even more convincing swim because of the level of play, because of maybe the standard that was set by the former head coach on the recruiting front. This is a swim like the English Channel for me. The Cajuns are going to add 26 players to the roster in this class. 17 are from Louisiana. And if you thought we were talking about dipping into winter's waters, and that's not winter with a T, not cold, winner, as in like getting to the finish line before everyone else, winning. Cajuns went to a lot of winning programs in this class. Today, they doubled down with their second player from Neville. Ditto with their second player from West Monroe High School. And that's on top of Archbishop Rummel, McDonough 35. The Cajuns got a lot of winners in this class, and they've gotten at least one four-star as well, if not another borderline one in Brandon Lejeune. This is a class that's going to kind of reshape the roster quite literally, but even the image that the program had been built in for quite some time. And it takes football coaches longer than it does basketball coaches, usually. But what Billy's doing to me is incredibly impressive. So, yes, I think that both of these are classes that you should be satisfied with, but for different reasons and maybe to different extents. CD, how about you?
I've been locked up with you, Ben. It's swim and swim, especially with the Cajuns. It feels like it's too easy to say this. I mean, this is the best Raging Cajuns class that they've ever had. I think that's no understatement there. They're one of the best recruiting classes that I've seen, hands down. A lot of talent, a lot of building for the future with this team. And I like what I saw in the first full recruiting class of Billy Napier. I think maybe that culture is going to become bigger and bigger in 2019. I can't wait to see what he does with the 2020 class.
And something that I will get a little clarity on before the program is over, there are three more kids that the Cajuns football Twitter account is retweeting at this point and announcing. I'll get some clarity on whether or not that's even more that you can add to the pile if it becomes 29 as opposed to 26, or if those are maybe preferred walk-ons. My gut tells me that could be the case. But again, I'll do a little bit of investigative work between now and 5 o'clock. Anybody out there? Echo Chamber, 706-0111. You satisfied with the classes? If you're not calling, my gut tells me you disagree with how I feel on Sobshore. That's okay. Have you ever known me to not at least hear you out? I'm curious how you feel in this one today, because there have been a lot of late booms in the history of LSU football recruiting, without question. It's always great to hit late. Sam Montgomery rings out to me as an example from the Palmetto State in South Carolina. But this one didn't go the way you wanted it to. Do you think it is that big of a hit? And is it an on-the-field hit or just a perception hit? Because my claim is that it is more of a perception hit. And Saban's going to be back down more often. Of course he is. And Jimbo Fisher's going to be coming in. Just curious how big of a deal you think it is. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, Andrew, I basically goaded you into calling. What you got?
You did goad me, I'm not going to lie. You said you were lonely, so I literally picked up the phone and called. But I'll swim on both of those. I'll agree with what Clint just said. For UL, this is probably the best class in recent, well, as long as I can remember, probably as long as most people can remember. I think that one's pretty easy. With LSU, I'm going to swim as well. I know the perception looks bad because Sopcher went to Bama, and everybody has an inferiority complex when it comes to Saban and Bama. But the class is really strong. And the other thing that a lot of people need to think about is with what LSU's graduating and the 2020 cycle, the defensive line in Louisiana next year is deep. And I mean deep for LSU to go pick four, five, six guys just from the state to fill and refill those trenches. But if anybody thinks that they're going to ever keep Saban out as long as he's at Alabama doing what he's doing, it's never going to happen. He's going to always get one or two players that we want. It's just the way things operate. And he does that to everybody. So it's not like he's just picking on LSU. He's going into everybody's backyard and doing that for the most part. So
it's a good point.
I would just say that it's the class as a whole is a really great class. LSU set up well. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't go 11-1 or better next year. And I did say better in the regular season. So, yeah, it sucks that Sopcher left. But at the end of the day, hey, look, it's going to be a hell of a ride to watch these kids play for the next 3 to 4 years. So
there you go. There you go. A level take and a rational one from Andrew. Lonely guy. I guess that's me. Yeah, the show's just always better when YP, you people out there in listener land, participate. Let's go get some more participation. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Tommy, you've heard my take. I'm waiting on yours. What you got?
Good afternoon, Ben. Well, I got goaded into coming on, but I didn't hear you say you'd love us. I'm getting that other dude in at first.
Yes.
I think both schools got very good classes. I mean, Napier is going to really bring UL around. I think he's first class and has a lot of energy and really what UL needs. LSU, I think, got an excellent class. And a lot's been said about, you know, him not coming here. What's his name, Goshen?
Ishmael Sopcher.
Not Gosher. Anyway.
No, not Gosher.
Something like that. One thing that really queries my mind is that supposedly there's an assistant coach at A-Meet that's close with Alabama's program or an assistant coach over there at Alabama. And what concerns me is I think the coaches always, you know, encourage a kid to go where they want, but always kind of put in their two cents of what's best for the young man. But in this case, if what you said is accurate, that Saban was just getting this kid just so he would not come to LSU, why would that coach not put some more emphasis in there? Do you think it was just a kid that wanted to go there?
It's complex. And Tommy, now we're running up against it. That's the problem with calls late in the segment. But there's a certain amount of cachet and prestige involved when an assistant and head high school football coach get a kid to go to Alabama. I'm not making any claims about Zephaniah Powell. Had a great conversation with him a few weeks ago, and everything I hear is he's a stand-up guy. I'll explain more later in the program, but something tells me this won't be the humongous loss that some people feel it is right now. And I'll share more on one of the unsung heroes of this UL recruiting class think North Louisiana. When we return, we'll switch it over to basketball for a moment. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
We'll take a break from the whole football signing day thing, at least for a moment or two, even though I'm betting our next guest knows plenty about it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Waiting aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, college basketball recruiting analyst for 247 Sports, it's Brian Snow. How are you, B. Snow?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Do you still laugh at the football side trying to accustom itself to two signing periods like basketball's done for ages?
I just laugh at the football guys in general because they've invented a term called non-committable offers. Like, that's like me saying, hey, Ben, here's $100. You just can't take it. Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Or like a girl agreeing to a date but saying she may not show up, which that actually does happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're both used to that. Let's not lie to the people.
Yeah, that does happen. All right, we'll talk basketball now. We're used to that as well. Give me the most dangerous non-Power 5 conference team and maybe hold out Gonzaga, possibly even Nevada, but give me that non-P5 team that has a chance to really make some noise come March.
You know, I think the easiest one is Buffalo out of the Mid-American Conference. They've already done it. And then, you know, they did it last year in the tournament. They have a lot of talent. You know, then you're looking at the American Conference. I know this is kind of cheating, but Houston's really, really good. I think Houston's got a chance to make a deep run in the tournament this year. So those would be two teams. And then even out on the West Coast, the University of San Francisco, a lot of people are going to be surprised by that. They're not going to win the West Coast Conference regular season because Gonzaga's in it. But if they get in the tournament, they're a team that can do some damage. They're well-coached. They have talent. They're older. They've got some good wins already on the season. So those would be a few teams, I think, you know, that have a chance to surprise some people.
I love the reference to the Dons out there, USF. So we'll see which one of those, if not multiple, come to fruition. Continuing on now with Brian Snow, it's a pretty tough three-game stretch for the LSU Tigers. Begins tonight at Mississippi State. Saturday, Auburn comes to town. And the next Tuesday at Rupp Arena playing Kentucky. First thing that jumps out to me, three really good coaches opposite from Will Wade in those three ball games. How do you see this stretch for the Bayou Bengals?
You know, obviously, if you're LSU, you're saying, we'll take 1-2. 2-1 would be great. 3-0, probably not happening, but we're going to throw a party if it happens. You're just literally saying, like, let's not go 0-3. And I think they have a very good chance to at least get one win, and certainly they have a pretty good chance at two. Auburn's been solid this year, but they, you know, outside of the butt-whooping that they gave Washington, they kind of haven't been that team since then. So if you're LSU, there's no reason you can't beat Auburn. Certainly Mississippi State, they've been a little Jekyll and Hyde. What are they, 4-5 or something in the SEC right now? So they're far from an unbeatable force. That said, Kentucky might be playing as well as anybody in the country right now. Going to Rupp Arena, that's a big ask to get a win. So I think if you get 2-1 and you're Will Wade, you're extremely thrilled.
I want to stay on LSU for a bit because I know that you saw all four of these kids at the high school level, especially during their summer ball periods, and just maybe briefly, a capsule on each, and if they're playing up to, maybe below or above what you expected. We'll start with the highest level recruit, Naz Reid.
You know, with Naz, you could have told me he was going to do anything this year. I'm saying you could have told me he would have been like Glenn Robinson at Purdue and averaging 30-20. And I'd be like, okay, I can see how it happens. And then you could tell me he'd be averaging 2 points and 3 rebounds a game. And I'd be like, I get that. I mean, that is just the story of Naz Reid. He's never been the same player. Every time you were ready to give up on him as a player, you'd watch him just destroy somebody, go for 30 points and 15 rebounds. And then every time you thought, hey, this kid could be top five player in the country, he wouldn't show up for a month at a time. So everything with Naz was on the table. So I'm not surprised at all that his production has been up and down, but overall fairly good.
Next, I'll ask you about Emmett Williams, who got the rep coming out of high school as a just extremely high-energy player, a motor guy. Your take on him at the collegiate level so far?
For Emmett, it's kind of been, again, as expected. He plays hard. He finds a way to rebound. But at the end of the day, he's 6'6", and he struggled so far to adjust to college in terms of finishing around the rim over length. And he's going to have to learn that. And that's something that comes in time. That's something that comes with experience. In high school, he could, for the most part, just kind of jump over people. You can't do that in college. So it's a growing experience for Emmett. But already the fact that he's a productive freshman, someone who's probably, if he sticks with the process, should be around 3-4 years and should have an excellent career for LSU.
I'll ask you next, Brian, about Darius Days. And, again, sometimes this ebbs and flows depending on the ball game. But so far, Days, to me, has been a little more physically imposing than I expected. He's been maybe at times better than Emmett Williams.
Yeah, it was interesting with Darius Days. He got better later in the process than Emmett did. But you could always you saw it coming, certainly in that final year in high school. His three-point shot started coming around a lot more. He's a naturally bigger kid than Emmett is. Now, he might not have always been as tenacious, but he was certainly a high-motor kid. So you're always like, man, you know, Darius Days, he's got a chance to be really, really good. And I think LSU fans are seeing where that's coming from. I think his ceiling is significant if he can keep building consistency on a day-to-day, possession-to-possession basis.
One more from the LSU front. Our guest right now, Brian Snow, tremendous follow on Twitter, at bsnow247, the Baton Rouge native, and Javonte Smart.
You know, Javonte was kind of the guard version of Naz Reid at times, where it's like you just kept, were always left wanting him to do a little bit more. And I think LSU fans are seeing that a little bit this year. He was a kid. He's very physically developed as a freshman in high school. And then his growth seemed to stall a little bit. That said, I was not trying to say he was a bad player in high school, because certainly far from that. But, you know, he never like quite became that superstar. And since he's not a tremendous athlete, you were kind of looking like, what's this kid going to be in college? And I think it's been a growing experience for Javonte, both in terms of getting used to college and getting used to how he has to play to be effective, given his particular skill set and the fact that he can't just dominate the ball. So I think once he gets used to that, you know, that's when his game's really going to take off.
All right, we'll finish up with maybe some, I don't know, two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the regular season type of awards. Who would be your National Coach of the Year and your Player of the Year if this thing ended right now?
Player of the Year, I think, is pretty easy right now. I think you have to go with Zion Williamson. Now, Grant Williams of Tennessee is certainly going to be up there. But at this point, I think Zion Williamson is probably the guy for me in terms of Player of the Year. Coach of the Year, you know, I guess I would lean Rick Barnes right now. I know a lot of people expected Tennessee to be good, but, you know, they're probably the best team in the country right now, and there's something to be said for that. I also look at Matt Painter at Purdue. Purdue lost four starters, and quite honestly, they haven't missed a beat. So those would be two of the guys that really stand out to me right now in terms of National Coach of the Year.
Always great intel from Brian Snow. All right, we'll get you out of here with a little bit of a laugh, perhaps. LSU got a football signature today from a kid who grabbed the hat and said, I'm taking my talent to the University of LSU. Do you have some favorites of kids that just butcher the institution they're about to go to, maybe on the basketball side?
It's all the time. It's like, you know, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and it is Xavier University. And kids will say, like, Xavier, and you have no idea how much their fans hate that. So you'll hear stuff like that. I've heard the University of Ohio State, and I'm like, how did you even come up with that? But then it gets really confusing with Kansas, because it's the University of Kansas, but goes by KU. And then I think half the time these kids don't even know what school they're committing to. They just put a hat on.
They might as well just say, I'm going to the place, and then name the assistant coach. That might be a little easier for us to connect the dots.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's easier that way. I had a good time on that visit at that school that wears, like, purple.
Yes.
Like, cool.
The place with the girl. All right, that's enough before
I get in trouble. My favorite one. A kid I knew, he committed to Oregon. He's from the Midwest. I said, if I gave you a blank map of the United States, could you point to Oregon? He goes, I ain't even going to lie to you. I'd have no chance. I'm like, okay.
I'm so glad we didn't shut it down earlier. That was absolutely the best. Brian, you are too, man. Enjoy the rest of your National Signing Day.
Anytime, thanks.
Could you point to Oregon on a map? That's a little too challenging. All the kid wants to do is go to school there, Brian. Leave him alone. We'll come right back in. I've got some information on some of the Cajuns players that we've alluded to earlier. Are they a part of this 2019 signing class, or are they going to be a part of the program in a little different fashion? That, plus the latest from Ed Ogeron, and we'll take more of your calls. But please, don't make me wait. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming back in on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in for the final time. During the 4 o'clock hour, you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone calls? Sure, we'll take them. And maybe for the final time in the program in this segment, 706-0111. Reality is, we're going to be guest-laden between 5 and 6 p.m. Don't forget, Glenn Gilbo, he'll give us a report live for Baton Rouge. He'll be stepping out of Ed Ogeron's press conference to tell us exactly what Coach O had to say. That'll be at 5 o'clock. At 5:30. You'll hear from Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns, and then Sony Finua, Tigers commitment. Is he a D-end? Is he an outside backer? We'll let him tell us. Scheduled to join us at 5:50. One thing that I know is going to get lost a bit in the shuffle of today's show, just because of the nature of the guests that we've been able to line up, and to be honest, some of them very late in the proceedings of this afternoon. I had planned an entire segment to go through our local area high schools and who is signing and going where. So here is going to be, and I do mean brief, but the briefest of run-throughs there. I know I'm not hitting all these bases. I'll do a better job of cleaning this up tomorrow. But to a guy that I've covered for quite some time, first on the hardwood, then on the gridiron, congrats to my guy Zach Clement at LCA. Has signed to play for Northwestern State at the quarterback position. Over at Carancrow, they had a slew of Golden Bears that signed up to play football. Deontay Due Allen going to Louisiana College. Austin Bro, as well as Arturo Marks, to Antelope Valley College. Cody Alfred, CMP Prep Academy. And then Kyron Como to Pierce College. Again, some kids I've had the good fortune of getting to know over the years. And then I got to shout out my guy, Eric Mouton, athletic director, head basketball coach at the one and only Blue Gators of Ascension Episcopal. He sent me a wealth of information, and we'll give some shout-outs there as well. Sean Michael Brady, a right-handed pitcher, has signed to play baseball at McNeese State. Also, Hannah Matke, volleyball, Millsaps College. Sophia Boatwright, women's tennis at Belmont Abbey in Belmont, North Carolina. And then finally, Austin Arsenault, catcher on a baseball team that won a state title a few years back, heading to Neosho County Community College in the state of Kansas. We'll have a lot more. I know that St. Thomas More, Acadiana High, and a number of others had big ceremonies today. Trust me, we'll make sure to hit all of those topics a little more in-depth tomorrow. But for those that did reach out, and for all of the local athletes that are going to be playing on the next level, sincerely, congratulations to you. Again, more on that tomorrow. But today, we're reflecting on LSU, UL, the signing classes that are brought in. And what I can now share with you, when I had the chance to sit in on Billy Napier's press conference at lunchtime today, there were 26 that were set to be added to the Cajuns' 2019 class. That number has grown by 3. And Napier was very upfront about this. He said at the end of his group press conference, I broke down one-on-one with him. You'll hear that interview at 5:30. But in the group setting, Napier was pretty clear that, hey, we're not necessarily done yet, right? We're not necessarily done. And so there are 3 more. And again, is everybody getting counted toward a certain class or not? Look, not up to me. Don't know. 25 ultimately is the number. But here's 3 more that have been announced by UL and their compliance since we left that lunchtime press conference. Jacob Bernard, wide receiver out of Lakeshore High School in Mandeville. Nick Ralston, a tight end originally from Argyle, Texas, and a transfer from Arizona State. So how about that? Some connections to Arizona State continuing to pay off. And finally, King McGowan, an offensive lineman from Willis High School in the state of Texas. So, again, no matter how it's going to be sliced in terms of counting this way, forward or back, the Cajuns are going to have 29 new faces to the program in this class. Interesting. Napier told us at lunch, the number may not stay at 26. He wasn't lying. It's up to 29, and they went to another winning program over on the southeastern part of this state, Lakeshore High School with Jacob Bernard. And they've gotten twice Texas kids and Nick Ralston, who's transferring from Napier and Sales' old stomping grounds over in Tempe, Arizona, and then King McGowan from Willis High School in the state of Texas. So a little bit of news for you there. Now, the news for LSU, I think it can depend on your viewpoint, because a lot of the headline-grabbing attention is that Ishmael Sopcich isn't coming down I-12 to Baton Rouge. I've told you, almost ad nauseum in this hour, why I'm not sweating that as much as some are. And again, if you've listened to this program since its inception, just about Memorial Day of 2015, you know that none of my MO is hating on kids. I just don't do it. And if Ishmael Sopcich is a stud, I'm going to tip my cap to him. But there's been, in circles I swim in, reaction for the last week of almost surprise that Alabama was really that high on him and serious about him. And as I've told you for this entire hour, that to me suggests that Saban and company want to play some keep away from LSU, do it almost because they can, but also to make further inroads, to add on to the kid from Amede High that caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the Natty Ship game 2 years ago, to try to continue to make inroads at Amede High that won a state championship this year, and to try and extend that to neighboring parish, Livingston Parish, where Walker High School is. And Brian Thomas is one of the best athletes in the state in the class of 2021. He's one of the best athletes, regardless of classification, frankly. And then Jalen Cook, class of 2020. Cook's good enough that even at 5'10 and a half, he's already got an LSU basketball offer. And so trust me when I tell you, the cone of interest, if you want to call it that, or the circumference, the radius, whatever, geometry terms, the place where you would draw a circle and say, here's the battleground between LSU and Alabama, it was Monroe. And that made geographic sense because of the idea that you were almost equidistant from Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge. Now, it is Tangipahoa Parish, and then quite possibly next, Livingston Parish. And LSU, in the last 2 months, has lassoed in two of the state's top athletes, wide receivers out of Kentwood and Amede. They didn't get the big D linemen. It's not as much a position of need as you think, partly because LSU didn't land Siaki Aika, partly because the Tigers, as Andrew called in earlier, and he's absolutely right, they've got a 2020 crop in Louisiana that it's going to fill a lot of needs. And then, oh, by the way, don't forget, they were able to get Braden Fehoko and Rashard Lawrence to come back. So what I'm telling you today is that they're not having to do some of the emergency recruiting that they did for much of the Miles era. Credit goes to Owen Company for getting some of their most talented early entry level juniors to come back. That's some of the biggest recruiting you can do. Keep a known entity, and by the way, a starter, over going out and trying to get someone who's a little more speculative. Yeah, you always have to look toward the future. That's the definition of recruiting. But I think LSU is going to be fine. And while I think it's the right thing to do, certainly the classy thing to do, to wish Ishmael Sopcich all of the best, I just continue to hear that this is something that maybe is more about politics than it is on the field. And if you're LSU, I'm telling you to take some solace in that today. If you wear purple and gold, I'm telling you to take a little comfort in that today. One other note before we exit the opening hour. One of the names that I think you should continue to keep front of mind when it comes to recruiting in this state, I don't care what school you're talking about, is Rob Sale. What he was able to do, not solely, certainly there was help, not only from Napier, but from guys like Tim Leger, who used to coach at ULM, but Rob Sale, who's from North Louisiana, played at LSU, has coached at a number of different outposts in this state. Rob Sale was largely responsible for UL going to get two kids out of Neville, two kids out of West Monroe, some of whom had interest from schools like TCU, just for example. I'm running low on time. I'm not going through the litany. But Rob Sale, for me, would be one of the big winners in this recruiting cycle. You want to talk about guys who kind of are influencers in this state at recruiting? LSU's got several of them, no doubt about that. Corey Raymond, there's a reason that they're going to get him back, and they made sure that Georgia didn't take him away. But Rob Sale is very quickly making a name for himself inside the state of Louisiana, coaching here in Lafayette. All right, CD, let's get now to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Instant. In both LSU and UL's case, the next thing we all should be interested to see is who's ready to make an instant impact. UL wants to go from winning the Western Division to bigger and better dreams. They want to get back to the 9-win plateau. And LSU thinks they can win it all next season. They're going to need some of these kids that just signed to play and make big instant impacts. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. Halfway home, you're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And you're listening to a National Signing Day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Let's waste no time. LSU went from 19 to 25 signees. This man just covered a press conference conducted by Ed Ogeron in Baton Rouge. Let's find him on the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Of course, it's our friend Glenn Gilbo with the Daily Advertiser. How are you, Glenn?
Good, Ben. How are you, bud?
I'm doing really well. I appreciate you doing this here on short notice. But what was the mood from Ogeron and this LSU staff that attended the presser?
Well, it was interesting. Michael Bonnet stepped up to the podium to introduce Ed and said that Ed was going to talk about the six players they signed. And then Ed got up and said he was going to talk about the six players they signed. So they were kind of saying they didn't want to talk about the ones they didn't, which was the elephant in the room, Soapster from A-Meet. But, you know, his name was never mentioned by Ed, but, you know, he kind of talked around it a little bit. So obviously they were upset by losing that kid to Alabama. But, you know, As usual, they still had a very good class. Probably top close around a five class. Soapster would have really put him up, and I think they thought they had him for a while. He was definitely a target, but that's happening every year. But they still had a really great class, I think.
Glenn, let's focus on a couple of kids who did sign today that maybe weren't expected, and we'll go to North Louisiana for Ray Parker out of Ruston. Look, he was a commitment. There seemed to be academic eligibility concerns. How did that whole thing come through the wash and end up with him signing today?
Yeah, right. Yesterday, I was told he probably wouldn't sign. But he is going to be eligible. Ed said that today. He actually said he thought that he wasn't going to be eligible. But he is going to be eligible, and they want to play him at tight end. So that's a guy that, committed in October. He's been a target for a while. So they're glad to get Ray Parker from Ruston.
Very interesting that he'll start at tight end. A lot of people, including LSU, see him as an offensive tackle. We'll see if that transition happens. Another kid who was maybe on the fence coming into today was Jay Ward out of the state of Georgia. What did Ed have to say about him and maybe what led him to choose LSU over Kentucky?
Well, I think, Jay Ward might have been one of the ones that they ended up signing when they lost Sobser and when they lost the defensive end from Oxford, Mississippi. They lost him to Auburn. So they kind of had an extra scholarship and signed that cornerback. He's not a very highly ranked cornerback, not nationally ranked. So that was kind of a late addition.
Anything else, Glenn, that really stood out to you? They wouldn't talk about the elephant in the room, and, of course, that is Ismail Sobster. But anything else that Ed harped on that probably will be written about soon in the Daily Advertiser?
Well, he had a lot to say about Joe Brady, the new receivers coach or passing game coordinator from the Saints. He said that was really a popular hire with players who got to know him through some clinics last spring that he came to. And he made a good point about how, you know, they're into Utah and Arizona and California. Those areas of the country are coming to him at some points. To me, see, that's a great place for LSU to go to. Wherever LSU can go that Alabama's not really at can really help offset some of these yearly losses they have to Alabama from in-state players. I like Texas, too. I mean, Alabama's not really in Texas that much. If LSU could start getting into Arizona and Hawaii and California, that's a good deal.
And Bill Bush, I believe, really has been the ringleader of getting into some of those areas. In fact, later in the program, we'll have Sony Finua on, and we'll talk to a new front seven player who's currently at the JUCO ranks. All right, Glenn, before we let you go, you've given us, the mood and some of the words that came from Baton Rouge. Now I'm going to ask for your opinion. Does LSU still have what you would consider an Alabama problem in terms of recruiting this state, or is it more of an isolated guy, maybe one or two a year?
Well, if it's one or two a year, that's a problem.
Okay.
it's Louisiana guys. LSU gets most of their in-state players. They're losing really good players. I mean, they've lost 9 top 5 players in the state to Alabama since 2012. That's really big. So they have to go elsewhere, and what's LSU's? If you lose a guy and then you get somebody else that's just as good, that's no problem. And they do that on defense in the secondary. But, LSU, the difference between them and Clemson and Alabama is the defensive and offensive lines. And, they're still not there yet. They're a ways from getting there. And I think the way they get there is out of state and recruiting places that perhaps Alabama doesn't go into, like Arizona, California, and Texas, we were saying. So, that's what they have to do because, they're probably going to lose that top lineman from West Monroe or Shreveport to Alabama. That's what they have to do. They have to go national with their recruiting of linemen.
Glenn, grateful as always for the time, especially during a busy stretch on National Signing Day. Look forward to reading the latest. And you can find it at theadvertiser.com on Twitter at LSU Beat Tweet. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
There you have it. Live report filed for Baton Rouge right out of the Coach O presser. And here's how we'll play this. Got another 4 or 5 minutes where we could take your calls. You want to react to the news of today, LSU, UL. We got time for you. And in all likelihood, this will be the final segment where we can take your calls. 706-0111. Got a little shade, ready to throw it in the next segment. Will not be recruiting-based. Billy Napier going to join us. Had a great interview with him one-on-one earlier today. We're going to kick that flavor in your ear at 5:30. And then at 5:45, Sony Finua, LSU signee, along maybe the defensive line, maybe an outside linebacker. We'll have to ask him. Maybe a chance for him to play a little bit of both of those and give some options for Dave Aranda. So we're going to be busy back half of this show. And don't forget, when we're over, I'm going to hand the baton to Don Allen and Company. Five Guys Stories and Lies, 6 until 7:30, and then over to Starkville, Mississippi, LSU at Mississippi State, 8 o'clock tip-off, pregame show. John Brady, Chris Blair comes your way at 7:30. So, big picture, you're just joining us. You snored a little bit and fell asleep during the 4 o'clock hour. Big picture, here's what you need to know. LSU signed six today to get from 19 to 25. That wasn't always a certainty. Shea Dixon, at this time exactly, yesterday, said he thought that 23 or maybe 24 was the number, depending on Ishmael Sopcich. Where they didn't get Sopcich, and they still got to 25. Now, what's very interesting is LSU was able to get Ray Parker in. That was somewhat unexpected because of academic concerns, and I found it intriguing. Glenn Gilbo saying that they're going to start him off at tight end and move from there. I'd bet money he ends up along the offensive line. So Ray Parker in this class now. Jay Ward from the state of Georgia in this class now. And this was something announced just about 30, 40 minutes before we came on the air today on B2BS. Three-star edge rusher Desmond Little from the state of Alabama, who according to Shea Dixon was a, or excuse me, according to Coach O earlier this afternoon, this Desmond Little was a silent commit to LSU. Desmond Little became the 25th signee. So LSU went from 19 to 25. The Raging Cajuns made an even bigger jump. By my count, at least eight players who came aboard today that weren't previously noted as signees. Lakemian Franklin, outside linebacker out of Neville. Another outside backer, Andrew Gleason out of West Monroe. A couple of offensive linemen, both from high school ranks, Tyler Brown, St. Joseph Catholic High School in Mississippi, A.J. Gilley from Natchitoches Central, and then kicker Grant Paulette from Ebron High School in the state of Texas. Those five, and again, if I miss one or two, I'm sure somebody will let me know. But those five we knew about during the lunchtime presser with Billy Napier. The next three I'm going to give you were given the thumbs up by Cajuns Compliance since Billy's presser, in which he said we may not be done yet. That group includes wide receiver Jacob Bernard, Lakeshore High School in Mandeville, King McGowan, love the name, offensive lineman, Willis High School in Texas, and then a tight end who transferred in from Arizona State, where Napier and Rob Sale used to be, Nick Ralston. So Rob Sale really, I think, flexed some muscles in helping solidify some more North Louisiana kids to UL. And the Cajuns right now are going to be able to introduce 29 new faces to this class and really do an overhaul of the roster. And as you'll hear Napier say, in less than 20 minutes, an overhaul of the quarterback position. A lot of things they can outdo in terms of depth and a battle for the starter. Just don't forget about Levi Lewis in that conversation. On the LSU side, another DB, another star wide receiver, another edge rusher, and the rich got a little richer. Ray Parker, who could be maybe a Dare Rosenthal type of project, just a great athlete. I think both will end up at offensive tackle. Rosenthal already is. Parker will see. And so overall, pretty strong day for both to finish really strong classes. But when it comes to Ishmael Sopcich, that'll be the big one that got away. I just don't think that's worth you throwing the baby out with the bathwater, if you catch my drift. Could be a fine player at Alabama. Wish him nothing but the best, but I think this is more about territory. Think of it like The Wire. People want their block. If you're going to sling, you got to have a corner. Well, right now, they're fighting over Tangipahoa Parish. And maybe the casualty in this war was Ishmael Sopcich. LSU fans will be upset they didn't get him. And while I understand, I think there may be some bigger things at play here. I think it was a game of keep away. I think it was about trying to claim a corner. LSU's going to have chances in Tangipahoa and Livingston Parish over the next few years to claim that corner as their own. All right, we're going to take our first break of the hour. Coming right back in. And there's going to be a name that resurfaces in the college football coaching game that maybe you didn't expect. I certainly did not. Clint will tell you all about it on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back on 103.7 The Game.
going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Busy times and a busy day. Recapping all of it for you and providing a little entertainment, right? Maybe just a little? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love and the famous Clint D back inside the 237 Roof Studios. I enjoyed this exchange on Twitter. I'll share it with you while I have a moment. Ed Ogeron said on Mohampton that they've had extensive talks with the talented dual sport athlete and his family. Ed wants the kid to come in, start off at the cornerback position, and they're going to let him do that. But Ogeron believes he could play nickel, safety, can move him around, and we'll just see. Ogeron, very confident that Mohampton can play a bunch of different positions. And so Cody Worsham basically tweeted that, to which Hunt Palmer quote tweeted quite simply, CF, put the kid in center field. He's going to be a borderline first-round draft pick. So for the MLB side, that is. LSU would be thrilled, I'm quite certain, to have a Kyler Murray situation on their hands, especially if the kid's not necessarily playing at the quarterback position. So Mohampton comes in as one of the most celebrated dual sport athletes in a while. It's a risk you have to take if you're LSU, knowing that he could sign in the MLB draft. I heard Mike Scarborough, I believe, earlier today on the Jordy Holtberg show. Sounds like the number is 1.5 mil. You have to do this if you're LSU, frankly. You want my opinion? I think, from what I understand, I think they're taking a bigger risk on Ray Parker. But again, it's one scholarship spot. They've got 25 to dole out this year. They've got 85. They have to mold it to on a roster by next Labor Day, basically. But yeah, the Mohampton thing, you have to do it and not think twice about it. All right, it's time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. You can also trust in their five-star management. Yeah, signing day lingo. They're going to start at the top with Mark. They're going to help you to create and then fulfill a vision. Collectively, the team is ready to up your patio game in 2019, and it all starts with a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Clint, I'll let you take it away, and I didn't think this was a name we'd be hearing anytime soon.
Me neither, Ben, but, you know, it had to be mentioned, and that is Art Briles, the name that we're talking about right now. And it's about the Southern Miss job for an offensive coordinator vacancy. And Briles, remember, he's still under a three-year sanction from being a coach in the NCAA after being let go as the head coach of the Baylor Bears back in 2016. It feels like it was a shorter time than that. But Southern Miss apparently considered Art Briles for the coaching staff, but after meeting with him on Wednesday, they decided to say no. They've met with him, but he is not going to be a candidate. They'll have no further comment on this matter. But according to a quote, this is from the mothership, but Hobson wrote in the statement saying that he interviewed Art Briles for an assistant position, and he believes he's a man who deserves a second chance. He is a man that seemed sincere and humble in his interview, and personally, he committed no crime. He may not have acted in the proper protocol, but that should be my job at Southern Miss. Like, this
Ooh,
is just,
that makes you cringe.
Like, the whole thing is just, like, this whole statement that he put out is just, ooh.
You can't justify taking a look at that guy right now. He was George W. Bush-style nuclear years ago, and he still is that way.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm throwing shade at. Why are you even considering this guy in the first place? I get it. He's a good offensive coordinator coach, but the dude is just it's a bad look for your program.
And to say that he actually didn't do anything wrong, that's the type of accountability or lack thereof that nobody wants displayed at the helm of their program. I'll connect the dot before we close shop on throwing shade here. much different circumstances, but your boy, Hugh Freeze, somehow, some way, got hired on again. Now, he didn't oversee a program that was very clearly linked to scandalous activity and endangering the welfare of co-ed students on its campus. So, yeah, like I said, it ain't apples to apples, but just found it interesting. Hugh Freeze, now the head coach at Liberty, saying that only Jesus can judge him. And, well, he'll bring that God-loving, Bible-thumping mentality here to Cajun country. Don't forget, Hugh Freeze and Liberty, that's the first game on Billy Napier and the Cajuns' home schedule next year. That should be fun.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
You know, this isn't something that I necessarily want to link to throwing shade. It really occurred to me. We had Glenn Gilbo on in the last segment. And understand the backstory. I had an opportunity when I got to Tiger Ag Magazine to have Glenn Gilbo as a featured columnist, and I jumped at that. I'm glad I did. He's an award winner. He is straight up and down. I know that people think he's slanted against LSU. Trust me, it's not the case. I know the man. But I understand, because I also have the internet and I have Twitter, that many people think he's out to get LSU. My experience has been very different with that. I think he just looks at things with a very discerning eye. But I will slightly disagree with one of his stances earlier when he was with us. And again, I know Glenn. I would tell him this to his face. I'm not talking about his back. He said that Alabama has got 9 top 5 prospects out of the state of Louisiana since 2012. I'm going to slightly disagree that that constitutes a problem, or at least an overwhelming problem. Because if he's talking about the 2012 through 2019 classes, that's now a sample of 8 recruiting cycles. That Alabama has taken 9 top 5 prospects in a span of 8 years, that's considered a huge, glaring issue, I just don't know that I agree. And you look at how some of that has worked out, or maybe hasn't worked out on the field, you can come to your own conclusions. Cam Robb, as I said in yesterday's show, is in the NFL. He's playing for the Jaguars with Booga Nation. But he wasn't a top overall pick. Not really even close to it. Hootie Jones probably didn't work out the way that many thought it would for the safety out of Neville. Dylan Moses, he's a multiple-year starter. He's got a chance to be an absolute stud. I make no bones about that. But it isn't always clear-cut how the kids in Louisiana turn out when they go to Alabama. But the idea that it's a major problem because an average of, what, I don't know, 1.1 kids every year go to Alabama? What happens there, the 3.9 on average? Where do you think they go? Just throwing out the other side of the conversation. All right, when we return, we're going to switch it up. We're going to let you have the head coach of the Raging Cajuns. I'm going to suggest to you that this is must-listen radio. Billy Napier on the other side. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Trade deadline just one day away. The Philadelphia 76ers not happy with the lineup consisting of Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Jimmy Butler. They have not added Tobias Harris from the Clippers in a trade that includes rookie point guard Landry Shamet, 2 first-round picks.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top-shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back from break. It's time to get the Vermilion and White perspective on National Signing Day 2019. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Don't want to waste a lot of time here. Cajuns have added at least 8 players to the class today, tacking on to a group from December that was already 19 strong, and you need to learn all about them.
Excited now to be joined by Billy Napier, going into his second full season as the head coach of the Raging Cajuns. And, Coach, a landmark signing class. You guys started on this thing, I'm sure, right when you landed in Lafayette for the first time. What's the feeling today, February 6th, as you get to ink all these guys?
Well, first of all, I think we've
We've got really good people. You know, I think we've hired well, not only the 10 full-time coaches, but critical people in the recruiting and personnel departments, and a great team effort. I think we got a group that is selfless, very objective, you know, great dialogue throughout the entire year just to make really good decisions, not only recruiting them, but evaluating them and making sure that we get the best players that we can get and the best people we can get. So gives me a lot of conviction about the type of staff that we have and the people around me. So we're excited to continue to get better at it. I think we'll get better and better as we go forward.
How did the early period benefit your program specifically with this class, and in particular, I guess, the hay you've been able to put in the barn since December?
Well, I think it's huge for a team like UL because of the you don't have to sit around for 2.5-3 months waiting to see if somebody comes in and steal one of your guys. You know, we had a little bit of that situation last year. Ole Miss, Mississippi State comes in and takes a few from us on the last day. So, you know, the ability to secure those guys before maybe the dust settles and all the teams get finished with bowl practice and their bowl game, it was big. You know, I think we evaluated well, and I think we did a really good job of building relationships so that those kids had conviction, believed in what was happening here, and went ahead and signed in December. So I think it's a huge benefit, especially for teams like UL, and I really believe it's going to create more parity in college football. I think it's going to make the cream of the crop make more mistakes than maybe they would have made with the previous system.
Loving the insight. We got more to come. Billy Napier joining us on 103.7 The Game. Describe the Rob Sale influence in North Louisiana. And look, I know he's not the only guy putting in work. Tim Leger coached at ULM. He's got inroads. But Rob Sale, what does he bring, I guess, I-20 and in that area?
Well, I think he's just, you know, great relationships. You know, having grown up there, certainly played in the state at LSU. You know, a couple years at McNeese, a couple years at ULM. You know, he's just got great relationships and, you know, he gets accurate information. You know, guys are truthful with him. And Rob's a diligent worker, man. The guy's a tireless worker. He's professional. He's first class in how he treats people. And certainly he's been doing this for a long time and gets a little better every year.
A lot of people are going to look at the quarterbacks that you're bringing back, but you've added a lot as well. The additions in this 19 class, how do they affect the way that you can treat the position in terms of depth and then how you evaluate starting quarterbacks and guys that will contribute on the field?
Well, we needed to get more arms on campus. You know, we needed more guys to compete. You know, I think certainly we wanted to create a competitive situation for next year's starter. Levi obviously is the leader in the clubhouse, but we've got some guys that are here now competing. Certainly the addition of Clifton McDowell, Chandler Fields, and Ave Mongale. You know, we're excited about those guys. I think they're all got tools to work with, you know, how they develop, what type of worker they are, what type of student of the game, how they process, all of that, you know, will come to fruition here in the next 6, 8, 10 months as we get close to that first game.
You mentioned Mongale, and we've had him on the program, Mount San Antonio College, but he's not the only JUCO guy that you've added today. What can you discuss when it comes to Jaquane Nelson? Hutchinson Community College, I don't have to tell you. I mean, that's prime breeding ground. So what do you get out of the big defensive lineman?
Well, it gives us an immediate depth issue on our team, you know, and he gives us a little bit more length and stature at that spot, you know. Certainly an area where we didn't have quality depth in the past. I think he's a guy who's 3 for 3. He will be here June the 1st. And we had a really good relationship with his coach because that coach was a graduate assistant at Arkansas with Coach Segrist. So he stamped him and vetted him. Obviously, Coach Segrist and Coach DeLuke went up there several times. And, you know, we're fortunate to get him. You know, it was a big deal to get him this morning, kind of the final piece of the puzzle.
And now we'll talk about the North Louisiana kids. We mentioned Rob Sale, the influence, but the new names today, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, LaKamian Franklin out of Neville High School, and then out of West Monroe, Andrew Gleason. So how big are those additions, especially that position?
Well, I think LaKamian is a guy who played with his hand down most of the game, but he's more of a linebacker size. So a little bit out of position. We had him in camp. Really felt like he was a guy that was getting overlooked. Evaluated him closely throughout his senior year. Another guy who's got incredible grades, test score, great family, just had them in this past weekend. You know, he's 6'1 and change. He weighed 213 the other day. He's got big features, big hips, broad shoulders. I think he's still growing a little bit, but I think he's going to be a really good linebacker, not just an outside backer, but we're going to start him as an inside linebacker. So he's got loose hips, really ran well in our camp, ran 4.53, and he's gotten bigger in his senior year. Andrew's another guy who's kind of a late bloomer, gained 20 pounds, you know, in the past 6-8 months. So, you know, played really hard, great motor, football family, a guy that's really just got great desire. Eat up with being a good player. Played alongside Dalvin, and a guy, he kind of reminds me of David Pollock back at Georgia back in the day. So, going to be a 6'2 and a half guy. He weighs 243 now. We're going to start him at outside backer, defensive end, and then just kind of see where it goes from there.
I was in school at Georgia, same time as David Pollock. So he starts jumping into quarterbacks from 15 feet away. You know you got a carbon copy, right?
Yeah, we played Pollock when I was at Clemson as a grad assistant, and he was a disruptive dude, man. Great ball get off, elite quickness. Not the biggest guy in the world or the longest guy, but just really important to him, and he had great instincts. You could tell that he cared about, you know, doing his job at a high level.
Another moment or two with Raging Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. Let's talk O-lineman. A.J. Gilley coming from just up 49, Natchitoches Central, and then Tyler Brown, St. Joseph Catholic in Mississippi.
Yeah, two really good evaluations here. Both guys are 6'2 and a half by our measurements. You know, 300-plus pounds. I think Tyler was 303 on his visit. A.J. was 310. Both really good athletes, built for leverage, high hip, long arms. Both young, big feet. Really impressed with A.J. here as of late. Like the other day, he dunks a basketball at 6'2 and a half, 310 pounds. Just a tough kid, great family, blue-collar people, and a guy who I think is – both these guys are guys that played small ball and have really good tools to develop. So I think they're both built for power and both proved it in our camp. And I think we've made really good decisions here.
You know the kickers are people too, right? So tell me about Grant Paulette out of Hebron High School in Texas.
Grant played at Hebron. He's certainly, if you play football there, football is important. It's a packed house. He made some critical kicks. He's got a big leg. He won our competition in our specialist camp. He's a guy we've been tracking for a long time. Had some other opportunities and fortunate enough to get him in the boat. And he'll compete along with Kenneth Almendares and Scotty Stevie Artigue coming back off the injury. So gives us a third person there to compete for that job. But tremendous family, great competitor, physical kid, like makes tackles on kickoffs, you know. So we're excited about Grant and what he'll bring to that competition.
As things stand, you're going to have 26 scholarship players through this class, 17 from Louisiana. Is that a blueprint you'd like to follow year in, year out?
It is. You know, I think that percentage is about right. You know, and, hey, some years may be different. You know, we're going to try to evaluate this state first, kind of believe in that pride element that goes with playing here and being from communities that are nearby. And certainly I think that will help our blueprint in terms of, you know, the culture that we're trying to create here. So we're still going to recruit the surrounding states that have lots of talent as well and evaluate those players. But, you know, if there's equal, why not, you know, err with a guy that's, you know, closer to home and is going to play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
And just one more, Coach. We got recruitings that listen every single day. They want to know what comes next. So obviously you may not be done with this class, but in terms of 2020, how does that evaluation period continue and progress with the Cajuns?
Yeah, we call it our preview stage, and we'll start that. Really started it last couple of days. We're off the road now. You know, we start evaluating 2020s, working our way through our areas. You know, we quality control recruiting this time of the year, the last 3, 4, 5 days, and then we kind of reorganize, regroup, draw the lines maybe a little bit differently, but, you know, just start over. And certainly, you know, like for today example, I'm doing phone calls with a lot of 2020 guys. I did 8 or 10 this morning, do another 8 or 10 this afternoon. You know, we'll take a little 5-day break here, give this 10 full-timers a little time off since they've been on the road, and then we'll come back at it Tuesday, February the 12th, we'll start our identity program and continue to work hard evaluating and building relationships with this 2020 class.
Again, congratulations. We appreciate the time. I know the Cajuns heading for bigger and better things and some of the groundwork, I should say, laid here.
Yeah, great year one. Recruiting in particular, I was very pleased with that plan. You know, to win the West in the first year, I think, was a compliment to the type of coaches that we have here. Certainly the buy-in that we got from the kids. Played really hard, proud of our kids and how we played against App State. Wasn't happy with the way we played in the bowl game. You know, I think we can do better there. And we got some things we need to evaluate in terms of how we prepare, all the things that are going on at that time of the year. But, you know, we're living and learning, and I think we're able to keep our staff intact for the most part, which was a huge accomplishment. Had several guys turn down opportunities elsewhere, and I think that speaks to what we're building and the quality of program that we're trying to run here.
Thanks again, Coach. I know we'll catch up soon. Congrats.
All right. Thank you, man. Go Cajuns.
Heck of an interview. Really enjoyed it earlier today. Hope you love the playback. And, you know, as we hit this final break of the hour in the show, I won't put words in his mouth, but I'll translate one of the things he said at the end there, at least as I heard it at the time. A compliment to our coaching staff, what they were able to do this year. I'll translate that, my words again, as we were able to squeeze a lot in terms of productivity and wins out of kids that we didn't necessarily recruit. Doesn't mean they don't have talent, just weren't fitting what we planned to do. That's what's so important about this class. Now they've got the type of kids, and with 29, the volume of kids that they can start to do exactly what they want to do in the ways that they want to. Big day for the Raging Cajuns. All right, we are going to take that final break. When we return, cross your fingers. With any good fortune, we'll have a visit from LSU signee Sony Finua. All that and more when we return. You're listening to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Coming down the home stretch of a signing day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. I'm Ben Love. He's Clint Domingue. And we're with you until 6 o'clock on 103.7 The Game. All right, I told you before the break, cross your fingers. Now you officially can knock on wood, do a rain dance, whatever you got to do. But we'll do our best to bring Sony Finua to you before today's show concludes. Big fella, Mesa Community College prospect is heading to LSU. Took an official visit this weekend, fell in love with everything, the campus, the head coach. In his words, the 247 Sports, it was emotional, giving his pledge to Ogeron and that staff inside of Coach O's office. So we'll see if we can't get him here again. Took a visit this weekend, committed Sunday morning, signed this morning. And if we can, we'll bring Sony Finua to you before the show is over. Don't have him right now. That's the way the cookie crumbles. But the big news of the day, LSU got from 19 to 25, and the Cajuns have found their way to 29 new faces ultimately that are going to be joining the program. So very successful, and I would say more prolific days than many, including me, expected. It's not that I thought LSU and UL would strike out. Hear me correctly. I thought that we were observing the regular signing period and the importance of it minimized by everything that the early signing period was doing. When LSU and UL both exited the third week of December with 19 kids in the boat, well, how much work is there really left to do? And are you really going to be able to get to 25? LSU was able to largely because of a fairly unexpected commitment from Jay Ward, because Ray Parker somehow, some way wasn't academically ineligible at the 11-and-a-half hour. I mean, we've had recruiting analysts on this show for the last week say he won't be a part of the class. Their intel is usually pretty strong. Mike Scarborough, I believe late yesterday on Twitter, is the first that I saw indicate that Ruston High's head coach was saying the kid's going to be eligible. So Jay Ward, Ray Parker, and then late Desmond Little helped LSU to go from where Shea and I kind of thought they might be, 22, 23-ish, up to 25. So the Tigers got to that final number, and the first Wednesday in February was more meaningful than I thought it was going to be, with or without Ishmael Sopcich. Didn't think LSU was going to get to 25. They did. Certainly didn't believe that UL was going to climb as high as they did in terms of the numbers. And then again, the quality. And look, over the last 2 weeks, we've had Jayave Magale, who signed today at quarterback from Mount San Antonio College in California. So they got a JUCO quarterback. We've had him on the show. And then we had Morris Joseph Jr. out of Iowa Western Community College. You ended up not signing with the Cajuns. Point being this, I was given a bit of an indication that there weren't that many slots left for UL. When you added up the JUCO kids that they almost certainly were going to bring in, I didn't think today was going to be a huge day for UL. I just didn't think the numbers supported it being a huge day. But it was. And a total of two outside linebackers, three offensive linemen, a tight end, a receiver, and a kicker. It's a heck of a haul today for Napier and the Cajuns, who, again, they're going to overhaul that program quicker than usually you can in the game of football. And Napier will tell you that they're on the cutting edge of roster management. And say what you want. I know that Ross Dellinger, SI.com, Sports Illustrated's got a dandy of an article, and he does, up right now, about the notion of non-committable offers. I don't think that's what's going on at all with UL. It's probably more of the opposite, that they're going to find ways to convert some of the current players on the roster to walk-ons, or some of those kids will end up transferring. And that's kind of the world that we live in with college football. I don't blame Napier, and I'm also not suggesting that kids that are there right now are definitely getting the axe, but they're going to have to manage that roster one way or the other. 29 are coming in, and it's their job to get it to 85 by Labor Day. Period, end of story. A lot of ways that'll happen. Kids that transfer out. And maybe some naturally will anyway because of competition. If you're on the roster and you're a junior, senior, and you're not going to start, well, it's 2019. I don't have to tell you how that song ends, how that movie concludes, and throws it to the reel. We know how that ends more times than not. But both LSU and UL had bigger splashes in this regular period than I originally anticipated. So first Wednesday in February is not officially dead. Not anymore. This one was intriguing. I do want to thank our guest today in the 4 o'clock hour in his normal spot, Brian Snow. A lot of great basketball takes, especially the LSU freshmen, four of them, how they're participating compared to what he expected, since he covered all four of them coming out of high school. Also want to thank Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser, gave us a scene setter from Coach O's Presser, and then Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns, who broke down his class just moments ago. Big show today. It's going to get even bigger as we proceed. Don't forget, we're going to introduce three new guests, weeklies, in the next three shows. Tomorrow at 4:30, Hunt Palmer talking LSU baseball. Friday, straight up 5 o'clock, James Moran talking LSU baseball. And I'm really psyched up. Those two we had last year, this one we didn't. Mondays at 5:30, Jace Conrad is going to be with us to talk UL Raging Cajuns baseball. So we're about to kick it into overdrive when it comes to basketball. Baseball coverage, glad we had our NSD reaction today. Thanks to all of you for calling in, listening, interacting on social media. For the famous Clint D., my name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Five Guys, Stories and Lies next, followed by LSU basketball at Mississippi State, all on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.